How extensive is illegal immigration in the Metro Atlanta area? Do you have estimates of numbers? Do you know where most come from?
Most illegal immigration into the United States in general, in Atlanta and Georgia included, comes from Latin America. Most of that comes from the nation of Mexico. The numbers are skewed and varied. Most people depend on the census for a count of people in the country illegally. And most people who study the issue understand that to be off by about half. Having lived across the street from a house of 18 and 20 people in the country illegally, I can tell you very clearly, illegal aliens, the proper name for someone in this country against our laws, do not answer the census taker. So to answer your question, the commonly used number was 229,000. It's now about 450,000. Most demographers would agree that that's off by about half. Jim Tharp with the AJC was reporting on the issue in 2006, used up to 800,000. I believe that figure to be about the most accurate.
The main reason most come to the Atlanta region is for work, and you identify criminal employers as the culprit in attracting or keeping undocumented workers because they pay cash. What types of employment or jobs are involved in that?
The jobs that pay mostly cash are not difficult to see. We can all drive by a day labor place, any day labor depot, and see people waving at trucks, sometimes as many as 20 people trying to get hired by one contractor, which kind of gives us insight into the alleged labor shortage. Anything from someone working for a homeowner to construction work, painters, landscapers, anybody in the construction business, many contractors have learned how to hide the expense of illegal labor into their tax reports. So to answer your question, the jobs that are paying cash only for people in the country illegally are it's a pretty wide spectrum.
Some suggest that most illegals in this country are people who didn't really sneak across the border illegally, but are people who are here on work permits, the permits then expired, and had been paying taxes to the federal government and states, and therefore supporting services that are used by all people.
Everything you said is exactly accurate, and I agree. We know that somewhere between 40 and 50% of the people presently in this country illegally did not come here illegally. They came on a visa with a promise to go home when that visa expired and then failed to fulfill that promise, which is a huge argument against any workable guest worker program. But yes, it is very true that about half the illegal aliens in this country did not come here against our laws. As far as the taxes, the average income for an illegal alien in the United States is somewhere between $25,000 and $27,000 a year. Most of us can see that that is not enough money to support a family of four or the commonly described family of six in the United States. The tax base of the rest of America is going to support people in this country illegally. These figures are backed up by the Congressional Budget Office and many other people who offer statistics on this. The Federation for American Immigration Reform recently put out a study that estimates the cost of Georgia alone of illegal aliens and their dependents simply for education, health care, and incarceration to be about $1.6 billion a year. If these people are off by half, it's still a stunning amount of money.
Let's talk about language. If your concern is with illegal immigration, why the opposition to other languages like Spanish? I mean, speaking Spanish is not illegal. What's the problem with that?
Let me set the record straight. My wife was a travel agent for 15 years. So if the language question is directed at me personally, I am struggling to learn a variety of languages. I do not believe, as most of the world recognizes, that we can be a sovereign nation without a common and official language. I would love to learn Spanish. And when I go to Mexico, I try my best to learn Spanish. My problem is that the culture of the United States is being changed because our government is ignoring the enforcement of laws. As far as the United States becoming a bilingual nation, I think we're well on our way to seeing that happen. Virtually every consumer product you pick up in your grocery store or Walmart is now in two languages. I don't regard that as a unifying happenstance.
Is there another country that you can think of that requires immigrants to that country to become fluent in the language before they move there, or requires them to become fluent in the language shortly after they arrive?
Well, no, but I'm not familiar with another country that spends a large part of their income on providing services in a language other than the native language. I know in Germany, where I visit, I know that the jails are now operated in English, excuse me, in German and in Turkish. And I know a lot of native-born German citizens who that bothers very much. I know that when I go to Paris, when I try to speak English to a waiter, I get a dirty look. It's always better to try and speak the native language. I'm not sure of the question. Why do I object to Spanish, I think, was the question. I don't. But I want the United States to have a common and official language. I pick English. And we have only to look to Mexico to see the advantage of having at least a common language.
Some say that one of the misconceptions about immigrants, illegal or otherwise, from Latin America to the United States is that they're not willing to learn the language or to become assimilated into the American mainstream. And that's not true at all. That the most obvious example is there's waiting lists for people trying to learn English. English as a second language classes in colleges and community colleges around the metro area and throughout the country. And that it just takes time for people to learn the language as it would for English-speaking people moving to France.
Again, no argument. We have a bad habit in this country of failing to recognize how big it is and thinking the entire nation may be what we see in our own backyard. I've been to places in California where I have been screamed at for speaking English. I've been to places in Canada where I was expected to speak French. It is not a secret that people coming into this country as immigrants are trying to learn English. Neither is it a secret, as we mentioned a minute ago, that our government is offering services in multi-languages and that, again, every consumer product we pick up is coming in two languages. Now, if we take in a lot of Portuguese immigrants, are we then expected to learn Portuguese and add that as a third language? I think language is clearly a unifying commonality in our country. It has been traditionally, and I think it should be in the future. Trying to deny that somebody's trying to learn English is silly. I certainly don't take that position. But again, there's a lot of people who want a bilingual United States, and they make no secret of that. I think they're having a huge success.
You wrote in a letter to the editor of the AJC in 2006, we should try to remember that there is no universal civil right to live in the United States. Immigration helped populate America, but like fertilizing one's lawn, there is such a thing as too much of a good thing. What does that mean?
I think that was written with great clarity. People complain constantly to me that the line is too long or the wait is too long in years to become a United States citizen. Let's all recognize a fact. The United States of America takes in more real legal immigrants than does any other nation on the planet. At more than 1 million a year, we have absolutely nothing to apologize for. Now, a lot of people don't want you to know that. We are also taking in more than 1 million illegal immigrants, aliens, whatever name we're putting on them. There is no universal civil right to live here. You can't say, I was born in Ireland to a poor family, but I want to live in the United States. It's not fair. It's a human rights violation if it takes me 9 years to become a United States citizen and get there. This is a nonsense argument. People need to stop believing that borders are some kind of a human rights violation.
When you look at the great number of people coming to the United States, one way it could be looked at, I think, is that it's really nothing more than the operation of free market capitalism in its essence. People are coming here for the opportunity, for work or education or whatever it is. The U.S. has something that they want. And isn't that what, in essence, populated the West in the U.S.? It's manifest destiny, a 21st century reworking?
Steve, you hit an excellent point. Two things. Just a minute ago, we talked about immigrants coming to the United States. First of all, there's a huge difference between the definition of an immigrant, which is somebody that comes to the United States lawfully with the intention of a permanent residence, and someone who comes here illegally, government term being illegal alien. For people who can't tell the difference between an immigrant and an illegal alien, remember this. Immigrants do not require amnesty. And as far as our tradition of immigration, we should all be very proud of that. We should also recognize that having populated the West, our nation has changed. If the argument is going to be we've always taken in immigration, therefore we always must, we're going to have to decide how many people do we want in our country. Presently, we have more than 300 million. When I was born, that was about 150 million. We cannot allow the entire world to move to the United States simply because they want to, and we always have. There has to be some kind of a cutoff line. Right now, we are saying 1 million immigrants is about our quota. A lot of people say that's not enough. Okay, fine. What if we make that 2 million immigrants? What are you going to say to immigrant number 2,000,001 who still wants to live the American dream, but now we have made him illegal? I would submit that the whole process would start over again.
What's next for Georgia? You've been very effective in helping to pass Georgia's tough anti-illegal immigration laws a few years ago, Senate Bill 529. What do you feel should be the next step?
That's an easy one. Actually enforcing the law that is now on the books, which is the problem nationwide. We have immigration laws that are being ignored because wealthy campaign donating criminal employers are in charge of our government. The law here in Georgia is not just aimed at illegal immigrants, it is aimed also at illegal employers and government agencies, mostly on the local level, who unlawfully provide public benefits to people in this country illegally. Again, the proper name, illegal alien. Here in Georgia, I am working very hard to adjust the language of the Georgia Security and Immigration Compliance Act so that local governments can't find a way out of compliance with that law. Also, to put teeth in that will require the withholding of funds and state grants to local governments who have refused to comply. Let's look at this. There's a federal law that says harboring, assisting, aiding, abetting, employing and encouraging an illegal alien to remain in these United States is a federal felony. Now, we don't have to look around very much to find out that that law has been ignored by the Bush administration for sure. What if there was no federal law? Wouldn't common sense say that to protect Georgians in their own state, that we would do everything we could on a local level to discourage illegal employment, to discourage illegal immigration, and to discourage the illegal access of a finite amount of public benefits to people who are not eligible at all? If you can make it to the United States illegally and make it past our border patrol, does that give you the right to live the American dream? And if so, let's just all admit what the real goal here is. The goal for many people is open borders. And if we're going to have the same argument over and over about how very beneficial immigration is without putting any limit on it, open the borders. And people should stand up and have the courage to say that is their final goal.
You mentioned that criminal employers are in charge of the government. What criminal employers specifically are you referring to?
Well, I'm not going to name any names. I think we can all look around and see who's donating to the campaigns of the elected officials who are refusing to enforce our laws. This is not some big mystery to people. And I use the term criminal employers because often I am accused of being against illegal immigrants somehow. I'm against the process of illegal immigration. The villains in this are the employers who serve as a magnet to draw the black market labor into this country. Right now we're going through desperate economic times. What I don't hear is I don't hear anybody screaming that we should be enforcing the laws that we have already passed that would protect the American worker, that would protect the American taxpayer, again, from providing benefits and services that are shrinking to people who have no lawful right to be here. If we adapted a policy more similar to that of Mexico, we would all be a lot better off.
What do you feel may be the most popular misconception about the work that you do or the Dustin Inman Society?
People who support the final goal of open borders, what I call the illegal alien, open borders lobby, people who defend the crime of illegal immigration and have learned to use the illegal aliens as their golden goose, really don't have many arguments. They can't depend on the law. It's against them. They can't depend on the majority of American opinion or the majority of the Georgia opinion. That is against them. So they've learned to use name calling, the tools of hate. They are hate mongers, if you will. But it's far too easy to paint someone like myself as being somehow against Latinos or immigration or children. And believe me, I've heard it all. I think it's important to recognize that on our board of advisors at the Dustin Inman Society, we have Latinos and black Americans. Now, I was brought up to never keep track of somebody's skin color or ethnicity, but apparently in this issue, that is all people want to talk about. We're a broad-based coalition of people who want some radical and crazy things, that being secure borders as is required by the Constitution, and American law equally applied. And as a child of the 60s, that's pretty much what I was taught was justice in America. If we're going to change the law, stand up and say, we want 3 million immigrants a year to come in. or stand up and say, we want it. It's immigration is so good for the United States that we want unlimited immigration. Because I can tell you, I travel the world. Most people would like to live and work in the United States, and we cannot take in everyone. Right now, we have brave Border Patrol agents risking their lives to try and secure our borders. Here in Georgia, we are rewarding the people who escape apprehension with services and benefits and a license to do business. The misconception is that somehow I am against a group of people. I'm not. I am against the fact that our rule of law is slowly fading into the sunset in the name of kumbaya immigration.
Well, D.A. King, thanks for taking the time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Steve.